Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be back home here in New Dwarka and able to share a few thoughts about Krishna consciousness with all of you this evening. I lived here for many years, too many years ago. And I see many friends, old friends here tonight, so that's always gratifying. And of course, their Lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish, always very dear to my heart. This evening I'd like to share with you some other thoughts which have lately greatly concerned my heart, not just my heart, but I think all the people of the world. We seem to be seeing activities taking place in society, tragic activities which are taking place in society all over the world, which really outrage us. I mean, we're pretty jaded and used to hearing bad news, unfortunately, in this material world. But now it seems that every week there is a greater and greater human tragedy which plays out all over the world. We know things that took place here in the United States during December. And now there's great concern in India about outrageous criminal activities there which have shocked the public, made women afraid to go out at night. When these things happen in society, people don't have answers. Or let's say they start looking for answers. And often they look to people of faith for answers. Why are these things happening? What can we do? Of course, the great compassionate Vaishnavas whom we follow, they also saw with great horror different activities that took place during their own times. And their response was not to try to balance things by material laws or other social adjustments. Those things may indeed be necessary and they may be undertaken. But the great Vaishnava Acharyas, through their compassionate eyes, they saw that what really needed to happen was a change in consciousness. The consciousness of people has become so degraded during this Kali Yuga that they're willing to do anything and everything for their own selfish interests. That's a strong tide that can't be turned back in any other way than by the consciousness, changing the consciousness. Of course, we would want everybody to become religious persons and come to the temple and here worship with us. We go out in the street, as Sauvastrabhu was saying, the Martin Luther King Parade and other festivals that are celebrated around the world by ISKCON devotees. So we would like them to come here. They don't come here, but we go to them. But even if they don't become our member, become religious persons, at least we need to change their consciousness and work at changing their consciousness. That will change the direction of society. And so how that can be accomplished becomes an issue, and to address that, I wanted to focus this evening on a verse that's found in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the instructions of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami about pure devotional service. This is a rather famous verse. I'm sure most of you know it. Those of you somewhat familiar with our literature know it. But I would like to focus on it in a different context than we find in the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Sanatana Goswami. They're talking about the process of devotional service and how that this element we're going to be discussing is so important to executing devotional service. Now, while that's true, this verse also has great potential for all of us participating in this change of consciousness, which is necessary in human society today. So we'll examine, I said, this rather famous verse and see what keys it holds towards this, which is very much, by the way, part of our mission. When Srila Prabhupada came to Boston Harbor in 1965, just by coming to the tip of this country, he could immediately see the whole thing. You know, how do you test a pot of rice? You test one grain, and you know the whole pot. So Prabhupada came to Boston Harbor, and he could just see right there on the waterfront the whole predicament that this country and the Western world was in. Full of passion and ignorance, and engaging in activities which ultimately hurt themselves. You can't put a child in with a bunch of knives or something. They're only going to hurt themselves. And so Prabhupada saw that society is on a self-destructive bent. And he was determined to do something about it. So here's the verse. It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 54. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kai, Lava Matra Sadhu Sanghe, Sarva Siddhi Hai. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. So what these words mean, who is a sadhu, what is association, what is a lavamatra or moments association, and what is perfection? These are all things which are contained in this verse. And if understood properly, these things can change the course of human civilization. Indeed, that is the purpose of sadhus wandering throughout society, to give their association to others so that they may benefit and change the course of their activities. So the first thing we notice about this verse is it repeats twice, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. Sangha meaning association or interaction. Sadhu. Sadhu is a saintly person. But what is actually a saintly person? During his lifetime, Srila Prabhupada told us that when he was a child, his father would go outside every day before they had their meals. And he would invite any sadhus. He saw, come, take your food here at my house. Take your prasad here. He was always inviting. And so many sadhus came. But Srila Prabhupada wasn't so impressed by all those sadhus. So much so that when he had the opportunity to go meet his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, his first response was, his friend said, Abhai, please come with us. There's a very nice sadhu I want to introduce you to. No, I've seen so many sadhus. He just wasn't impressed. Fortunately, his friend dragged him, and then the rest is history. But so many sadhus are there. We see And again, Prabhupada told us a story how he observed personally how one man was living with his wife and children. And every day he would get up and he'd put on like the saffron cloth of a sadhu, and he'd go out begging, pretending that I'm a sadhu and you give me alms, you give me money. And then he'd go back home and he'd just live in his family life. So this is not sadhu. A sadhu, first qualification, titikshava. It means he's tolerant. Titikshava. He's not interested in his own benefit as the first order of business. And of course, we can judge ourselves in these regards too, because at least for myself, it's hard for me to think in terms other than me first. Well, that's conditioned life. For millions of years, we've been, millions of births, we've been in that situation. Me first. But a sadhu, he's titikshava. He tolerates that kind of pushings of the senses and the mind to put others first. Because not only is he titikshava, tolerant, but he's karunika. He's very merciful. He's very merciful. So, if we see these qualities in someone, then we know this is a sadhu, this is a saintly person. This is a saintly person. And so we should take their association, sadhu sangha, it says. Sadhu sangha, it repeats it twice. In the Vedic way of thinking and writing, if there's some repetition, it's there for a purpose. It's meant to emphasize. This is very, very important. Pay attention here. So it mentions twice, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. So sadhu sangha, yes, take positive association from saintly persons, those who aren't self-interested and who are very merciful, moved by the sufferings of others. Take that, and then once you get it, don't blow it. I mean, you know. You come into association of sadhus, you have to change a little bit. Otherwise, you start sticking out like a sore thumb. And so, emphasis two ways. Take that association. Seek after it. Covet it. And try to make it effective in your life so that you don't lose it. So, sangha or association. There are many wonderful stories Prabhupada told us about how we can understand these different conceptions that are there in the Sanskrit and Vedic literatures, sangha. He said, just like we think of sangha in terms of being closely associated with somebody, you know, like close proximity. Yeah, that's understood as intimacy, right? You have some close proximity. But Prabhupada said, well, now, he's sitting on the Vyasasan there, and there may be some little bug on the Vyasasan, right? So does that mean that the bug is like taking sadhu sangha? No, he said the business of the bug is what? Does anybody know? The business of the bug is what? To bite. The business of the bug is to bite him, not, you know, benefit from taking his association. So sangha or association doesn't mean necessarily physical proximity. But what it primarily means is to be able to hear. That's how we take association. We can hear. Now, if you think about it for a minute, hearing, and you extend that to like reading, which is hearing of the what people wrote some time ago, we can associate with sadhus, not only with Srila Prabhupada, but all the those members of the Guru Parampara that he represents, we can associate with them as well by hearing. By hearing. So that's how we hear. We hear from the compassionate souls like Srila Prabhupada, and we get their association in that way. So sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. And it's not just me saying this, by the way. I mean, it's the Shastra saying it, and that's what the next part of this verse explains. Sarva Shastra Koi. All the revealed scriptures give this information about who is a sadhu, and how to associate with them. It's not just a Hare Krishna movement saying this, but all the revealed scriptures talk about this truth, about how we can make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. And that association doesn't have to be very long, because the next lines are Lava Matra. Lava Matra is the translation that Srila Prabhupada gives us is 1/11th of a second. 1/11th of a second. This kind of sadhu sangha that we're talking about is so potent that if it's just 1/11th of a second, it can give Sarva Siddhi Hoy all perfection. So that's a pretty good deal. I mean, if it only takes, 1/11th of a second, you don't have to. And now in this age of Kali, they don't have time. No one wants to spend any time on religious pursuits. Sankirtan devotees will tell you, the common response, not today, I don't have time. And so, just take 1/11th of a second. Again, Prabhupada, he was so conversant with these things, and in his mind, he knew exactly what he was doing. He told us, well, even if they look at the book, if they touch the book, if they read one word, their life will be changed. This is a practical application of this Lava Matra that's being described here. Let me read one word. Okay. It has benefit. It has potency. It has potency. This is the power of the sadhu. And it's also the benefit of the devotee, because the devotees, they go out and they distribute books, and it's a difficult life. Yet because they are titikshava karunika, they do that. Face all kind of rejection, everything, this and that. I was recently in New Zealand. I saw a video that was done, and they had Bhrigupati on there. They had Shastakrit on there, some others. And they were talking about how when they go out in society, they have to face a lot of rejection. You get a lot of rejection. So if they're self-interested, if they're not merciful, then who can stand in the face of constant rejection, rejection, rejection? But they do it because they're sadhu. They're following Prabhupada's order. Prabhupada's sadhu. They're following orders of sadhu. And they're affecting people's consciousness, because the encouragement for them is that, well, even if they just give someone 1/11th of a second, now, it's hard for someone to reject you 1/11th of a second. So you have an advantage over them, because you give them 1/11th of a second, and they get benefit, and then they may unfortunately reject, but it's meant for encouragement. Encouragement of those taking it, who have this attitude that I don't have time to invest in my spiritual consciousness, my spiritual growth. And it's meant for those who would deliver that message, because it gives them an opportunity to see that every contact they have with every person makes a difference. So Lava Matra Sadhu Sanghi, that's the type of Sadhu Sangha that we're interested in seeing happen. And then finally, the verse ends with Sarva Siddhi Hoy. And this brings us back to the point that I was making at the beginning. Consciousness has to change if we want to see different results in the society around us. Consciousness is a problem. Raising consciousness is the solution. So this type of sadhu sangha that we're talking about here, this potent form of associating with people who are tolerant, don't see themselves first, and who look to the benefit of others first, the perfection of that is, well, let's talk about what it's not. Because a lot of times people go to saintly persons, or they take to religious paths for material gain. Indeed, there's a whole branch of religion that's sort of like a prosperity religion. You know the effect of your religious practice when you're getting material prosperity. Of course, material prosperity is a cause of anxiety, and it's temporary, and so how people can understand that as the exclusive benefit of spiritual practice, I'm not sure. But it exists. Even the Vedas, people go to the Vedas. I would dare say most people go to the Vedas for material gain. For material gain. I was recently in Tirupati in South India, and you know, Tirupati's the largest, in terms of people going there, and the wealthiest temple in India. Now, do you think most of those people are going there for titikshiva, karunika, selfless devotion? No, they're going there for, like, well, I have my exam to pass, and I'm going to get my daughter married. So it's good that they turn to God, but that is a type of perfection. Sarva Siddhi Hoy that people go for that type of perfection, but that's not the topmost perfection. As I said, it's temporary. It's temporary, and it can be a cause of great distress. Better they go to God to fulfill all their desires than not go to God at all. But what is the best thing? What's the best Siddhi or perfection that you can get from associating with a saintly person? That's that the consciousness becomes raised. That begins to move up beyond the platform of the body and the mind. And moves toward the service, selfless service of the Supreme Lord and all living beings. It was wonderful how Savas was describing the gentleman that's sponsoring the feast tonight, you know. That first he started, well, I'll do for my family. But because he's associating with devotees here, no, not just my family, all human beings, all living beings, he thought, right? That's the difference. That's the effect of associating with genuine sadhus. Yes, we have concern for our families and our intimate loved ones. No one's saying not to have that. But as our consciousness expands, it expands to include others as well. And as it expands more and more and more, it includes all living beings equally. All living beings equally. So that's the perfection we're talking about here. And that's the real need in human society today. How can people do the abominable things that we have to read in the media? How can they do it, you think? You know, how could a person even think, you know, to do the kind of things that happened at school in Connecticut or the kind of situation that happened in India recently. How? For most of us, it doesn't, our minds can't grasp, you know, what sort of person was thinking. That's because we exist on a higher plane of consciousness. So that's where work can be done. That's where that's at least a part, let's say, of our mission in this ISKCON movement. To practically help people raise their consciousness so that we can live more peacefully, with a calmly, and then we can focus on higher thoughts, higher practices in life. Perfecting our relationship with the Supreme Lord in a loving way. That type of consciousness change is what at least some of the lessons we can learn from this verse, sarusanga, sarusanga, sarva shastri koi, lava matra sarusange, sarva siddhi hoy. To work for the benefit of all conditioned souls in this world. And if we can't change it, then at least let's get out of it. If we can't change it, let's at least get out of it. So we're so fortunate to have devotees that have dedicated so much of their lives in this regard. I think Sarvastra was very admirable in this regard. I always appreciate his example. As I said, I lived here sometime in the past, more toward the beginning of his being the president now, but he's still the president, still doing the same job, and that's a prop. I really appreciated that steadiness in doing service like that. And so Vas and many others as well, not just him. He'll be the first one to say not just him, but many others as well. All the devotees all over the world, they're working in this way as genuine sadhus to try to benefit others. And so if we appreciate each other in this way, it just makes it stronger, and we will have an effect in changing society. So thank you very much for allowing me to share these few thoughts. If anyone had any questions before we take prasadam, we could do that. Or comments anyone has. Yes, Ru? The best way to encourage somebody who is so much enveloped by work and responsibilities in this world. Well, I think that's what the verse is about. Get association with the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Take a little bit of time. Just take a little bit of time. The principle of this verse is little endeavor gets big results. Are you familiar with the 80-20 principle of management, of time management? 20% of your time yields 80% of the results that you're looking for. It's a principle in time management. So it's coming from this verse. Lava Matra, you spend just a little bit of time and you get Sarva Siddhi Hoy. So invest a little time as much as you can. It may just be little in the beginning, but then you get tremendous benefit. So associate with devotees a little bit as you can, and then let it grow from there. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.